It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Barrett.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Starting college can be a daunting experience. Of course, there's a lot to learn in the classroom, but there's also a lot to learn about how campus works and how to succeed in a new environment.
That's true for any new student. It can be an extra challenge for Black women who often face some institutional and social barriers. New research finds that they succeed by building community with one another along the way.
A new book by a Wisconsin author tracks the experiences of over 100 Black women who graduated from college as far back as the 1950s with stories they shared in their own words.
Rochelle Winkle Wagner is a professor of education studies at UW-Madison, author of the new book, The Chosen We, Black Women's Empowerment in Higher Education. And Tangela Blakely Rivas is associate professor of educational leadership at St. Mary's College of California, graduate of UW-Madison. She's with us to share her experiences and her research contributions to that new book. Tangela, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
And Rochelle, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's a delight to be here.
Let's start with some of the basics. What do the numbers tell us about Black women who attend college in Wisconsin compared to the population as a whole?
That's a great question. I can start with that. So in the state of Wisconsin, 12% of our state identify as Black. And as we look at some of our big institutions, particularly in the University of Wisconsin system, when we look at University of Wisconsin-Madison, for example, only 4% of the population on campus identify as Black. And that's a number that has really plateaued for over two decades. So we really are not yet at the point in our state where we have reached what we would call racial parity in terms of college access.
And Tangela, the book, Rochelle's book, is all about stories of people, of Black women attending college. You came to UW-Madison yourself for a graduate program. Can you talk a little bit about your experience, your oral history, if you will, as a student in Wisconsin?
Sure. I grew up in a mid-sized city in New England. And my story really begins, you know, in the K-12 public education system. And so my high school was located right down the street from an Ivy League institution. And before I graduated, you know, I had questions about why most of my peers, including myself, weren't considering this Ivy League institution for college. You know, the backstory starts there. I leave New England and I have an opportunity to go to Spelman College, which is an HBCU for Black women, which was an amazing space. As a first-generation college student, I moved to Atlanta. I was in this very unique and affirming space, developed lifelong relationships that were very empowering. I had Black professors, Black mentors. And so these spaces were very special and nurturing to me. So fast forward, I leave Spelman, and I would eventually move to the Midwest and move to Chicago. And I start working for a college access organization, which sends students from the city of Chicago, mostly students of color, to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And that was actually my first experience with Wisconsin schools. So working intimately with high school students from Chicago Public Schools who would enroll at the UW as an undergraduate student. And so I saw many of them enroll, graduate, persist, be very successful, and pursue amazing careers and do amazing things in life. And so when it was time for me to make a decision about where I would go for my graduate program, I had already had some familiarity with the UW. And so I applied and the rest is history. And so that is sort of my story to the University of Wisconsin, Madison.
And we'll pick up that story in just a bit. And Rochelle, in this project that leads up to this book, you interviewed 100 Black women with help from Tangela and some others about their experiences at colleges and universities, Wisconsin and around the country. You call it a 10-year labor of love. Tell us a little bit about how this all came together and what you were hoping to accomplish.
The book starts from a simple question where I was really trying to figure out, in a society where a lot of institutions, including colleges and universities, really are just not set up for Black women to be successful. And a lot of these institutions might even be set up in ways that put barriers in place for Black women. In this book, I was asking a simple question, and that is, how have they thrived? And we know they have. We know that many Black women are leading our institutions, leading our country. They are leading communities. And so here I was trying to understand, what is it that they've done to be successful in those ways?
What were some of the key things, Rochelle, that you found that enabled Black women to thrive in college? And a big focus, clearly, if I could spoil it, it's not just about me, it's about we. You found the sense of community.
Yes, that is absolutely right. So the big argument that I saw over and over again across all of the oral histories in this book, five cities and over a 60-year time period, is really a relatively simple answer that might feel profound to a lot of people, and that is that Black women have long understood something that a lot of people have failed to remember, and that is that their liberation is tied to one another. So what we see in this book is that Black women are saying to us and teaching us, and we can learn from this, that I cannot be free unless we all are free. And Black women have been doing this with and for each other for quite some time.
All right, Tangela, let's take us back now to your graduate experience at UW-Madison. As you said, you'd been in Spelman College, felt great support there as an HBCU, historically Black college or university. Take us now into UW-Madison.
Sure. So I enrolled in the University of Wisconsin-Madison, it's hard to believe, 13 years ago. So I pursued both my master's and PhD in educational leadership and policy studies. And what was important to me when I stepped onto that campus was just building community. And so I found community when I got to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Initially, you know, coming into campus, you know, as a Black woman, not seeing a lot of graduate students who looked like me, I found other Black graduate students at the University of Wisconsin. We found one another. We found one another on campus. And so it was really, really instrumental in building community. In many ways, it was my lifeline that helped me to persist. And so in our community, we would get together. We formed an informal writing group. And so we called ourselves the Writing Warriors, which is a group that exists today. And so that was, a part of building community when I was on campus. We hosted potlucks. We helped prepare one another for academic job talks. And so we organized ourselves and we supported one another and we wrote together. And so, coming to, Wisconsin, not seeing a lot of students who looked like me, like I said, it was very, very important for me to find community.
Both of you talked to, as we mentioned, it ended up being 100 or so Black women in preparing for this book. I'm curious, you mentioned, Rochelle, this is going back decades, 50, 60 years. Can you talk a little bit about some of the conversations you had with those people who, I'm guessing in some cases, might have been the first Black woman or among the first Black women on some of the campuses?
Yes. So I think about, as an example, there was a woman in the book who goes by the name of Janelle, and she graduated from the University of Iowa in 1968. So she was on that campus during the, heart of the civil rights movement. She talked about how she went to that campus, University of Iowa, and she moved into a residence hall, and there were 400 people in the residence hall. There were only three other Black women in the entire residence hall. And so she said, something similar to what Tangela was just referring to, which is, we had to find each other. So she made friends with these three other Black women in her residence hall. They became what turned out to be lifelong friends. They joined the same historically Black sorority. They started the Black Student Union that now has served generations of other Black students on that campus at the University of Iowa and supported them. And they engaged in a lot of civil rights activism that really reinforced their own leadership and many of their own careers, as it turned out. I last spoke to Janelle just a couple of years ago. She recently passed away. She was well into her 80s by that time. And the last time I spoke to her, she was still in touch with those friends that she made back in the 1960s at the University of Iowa.
We're talking about the history of Black women succeeding in higher education with Rochelle Winkle Wagner, education policy professor at UW-Madison, and Tangela Blakely Rivas, associate professor of educational leadership at St. Mary's College of California, graduate of UW-Madison. They worked together on the research for this new book we're talking about. It's called The Chosen We, Black Women's Empowerment in Higher Education. Tangela, you mentioned that the Writing Warriors, this group you had with other students, still going today. In the research for this book, did you encounter that a lot where, you know, one generation helped the next or created something, some community that stuck around for future generations?
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, it's part of what we do, you know, uplifting one another, supporting one another. You know, it's the saying that when one of us wins, we all win. And so collectively, you know, we see throughout the book, throughout the stories and interviewing with women, it was important to lift our sisters up. That's what we do, right? It's, you know, so the writing group happened organically. But, you know, it's those spaces, it's those collective, you know, opportunities that, you know, that we create in order to make sure that the experiences of those who were coming behind us have it just a little bit easier.
Rochelle, we've talked a little bit about UW-Madison. You also look at UW-Whitewater in the book. Can you talk a little bit about stories you heard from there and the kind of programs and resources that you found there?
Yes, at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, while the percentage of Black students remains consistent with University of Wisconsin-Madison, so right around 4% Black students at that institution, there are programs such as the King Chavez Program, named after Martin Luther King and Cesar Chavez. And these programs provide a career-long support as a student enters college to provide community, some pro seminars that help students to just see what opportunities are available for them. That example of King Chavez and other programs at University of Wisconsin-Whitewater makes some of the experiences quite different, but also from a University of Wisconsin-Madison, for example, and we could stand to learn from some of these programs.
Tangela, do you see other comparable things that, you know, the universities and colleges themselves could be doing to help Black women and so that they don't have to just rely purely on finding this community themselves?
Yes, I think that's a really good question. I think, you know, as we sort of think about the social political context that we're in right now, there's so much harm and frankly, violence that's being done to Black women, to Black men. And these experiences and challenges are traumatic for all of us, for our college students, for our graduate students. And they're bringing these challenges and trauma with them to campus, right? And so it's important that institutions recognize the social political context that we're in. Institutions could also do a better job at making sure diversity, equity, and inclusion are central and a priority. And so that's what I would say in terms of what institutions can do.
Rochelle, diversity, equity, and inclusion, political targets now here in Wisconsin and in the rest of the country, university funding in part linked to debates over that. What would you say to people listening who might say, well, DEI, that's what we're trying to get rid of, right? What would you say to make the case?
You know, The Chosen We, the book that we're talking about, teaches us that no students will ever be fully supported or educated until all students are. It's the idea, as I said earlier, I cannot be free unless we are all free. Black women have long understood this, that their freedom and liberation is bound to one another. And what I'm seeing in this book and what I'm arguing here is that we can use Black women's experiences in higher education as a bellwether for the entire system of higher education. So what, to say it more clearly, if we support Black women in higher education, we will in turn be supporting all students.
And there's a phrase in the book, well, there's kind of a story, I think, Tangela, like, oh, this Black woman, adversity, and she rose above it through strength of character, et cetera, a superwoman. And we celebrate that story in the book. I think some of the stories come out and say, well, wait a minute. Why can't we have it so we don't, you don't have to be a superwoman to get through in the first place? Do you have some thoughts on that?
I do. You know, there's this narrative that Black women have it all. Right. That that we can, you know, show up in all areas of our life and succeed. And so there's this inherent pressure to perform. And that's not the case. You know, Black women are suffering and we need support. You know, we cannot do it all. And so it's important that that's acknowledged. It's important that there are supports and structures and systems to take the pressures away, you know, so that we're not in this position to have to perform and to show up.
And Rochelle, the book title, The Chosen We, the book specifically about Black women in higher education. If I'm reading you right, the concept of The Chosen We, that we can all be more successful if we help each other out, I get the sense you're making the case that, well, this isn't just about Black women in college.
We can indeed learn from Black women over time who, you know, I certainly am not the first to say that Black women have been and should and continue to be elevating each other. Black feminist theorists and thinkers have been saying that for 150 years. What I am saying here is that often Black women are supporting and elevating each other in the absence of societal and institutional support. And so what I think we can learn from this is that we can better offer support to Black women societally and institutionally so that they aren't the only ones supporting each other and themselves. And we can learn across racial groups that this important lesson, which is that we really are bound up in each other's freedom and in each other's liberation. And I think if we move into that kind of thinking, we move away from educational and social institutions that keep asking, what am I owed? What do I get out of this? Instead, we start to ask, what do we owe each other?
I will leave it there. Rochelle, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's really a joy to be here.
And Tangela, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
That was Rochelle Winkle-Wagner, professor of education studies at UW-Madison, and Tangela Blakely-Rivas, educational leadership professor at St. Mary's College of California, graduate of UW-Madison. They're with us to talk about their contributions to a new book. It's called The Chosen We, Black Women's Empowerment in Higher Education. It shares the stories of 100 Black women who attended college since 1954, what we can learn from their experiences overcoming obstacles and creating community.